Our sermon for the week of June 22nd, 2025, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And the theme of our sermon is Jesus gives us a reason for release. From Luke chapter 8, they sailed down to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, a man from the town met him. He was possessed by demons and for a long time had not worn any clothes. He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. In fact, the unclean spirit had seized him many times. He was kept under guard, and although he was bound with chains and shackles, he would break the restraints and was driven by the demon into deserted places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had gone into him. They were begging Jesus that he would not order them to go into the abyss. A herd of many pigs was feeding there on the mountain. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. The demons went out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When those who were feeding the pigs saw what happened, they ran away and reported it in the town and in the countryside. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found that the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet. He was clothed and in his right mind, and the people were afraid. Those who saw it told them how the demon-possessed man was saved. The whole crowd of people from the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were gripped with great fear. As Jesus got into the boat and started back, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and tell how much God has done for you." Then he went through the whole town proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. To grab people's attention, stories need detail. The setting matters. Did the shipwreck happen out in the middle of the ocean during a storm? Or did it take place 100 yards from the shore due to ineptitude? The people in the story matter too. What's their background? What's their relationship with each other? And of course, what happens matters. Down to every little detail. The best storytellers capture the scene for us, whether they were there or not. Now Luke serves as our storyteller today, not making up a narrative or telling what he himself saw. Instead, like an investigative journalist, Luke gathers all the details so he can describe things exactly how they were. And in showing how things were that day, he reveals our Lord's heart for his people. Jesus and his disciples were in the Gentile territory on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. These were not the safest places for a group of Jews. They were certainly not the most welcoming either. But there was a welcoming party for Jesus as he stepped on shore. One man. A man who is demon-possessed. A man who had been demon-possessed for a long time. A man who had been demon-possessed for a long time and because of his ailment was forced to live in the graveyard. That's who came to meet him. It seems this man had played with Satan and witchcraft and was now suffering because of it. Naked, this man came to Jesus and fell at his feet. But when he opened his mouth, the voice of another spoke. "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." How did he know that Jesus was the Son of God? At this point, even the disciples had not fully grasped that idea. The words spoken here were not the words of a rational man. The voice may have sounded like his, but it was the demon inside of him that was speaking. This demon knew who Jesus was, and knew that Jesus could drive him out of the man. Up to this point, it seems, he had held unrestrained power over the man, causing the man to convulse whenever he wanted, and sending him into a frenzy that would even break out of the chains the townspeople put him in. In those fits of rage, the man would be led out to deserted places. This man was owned. This man was a slave. But Jesus did not retreat from this despicable sight of a human being. He asked the man his name. Of course, the demon within the man spoke again, Legion. Many demons had been using this man as their punching bag. They had driven him past the edge of despair to complete and total surrender. But now, their free ride seemed to be threatened. The demons within this man clearly knew what Jesus had the power to do. And they didn't want him to do it. They didn't want to be cast into hell. They wanted to continue to make hell of earth. Begging, they requested Jesus send them into a nearby herd of pigs. And when he obliged, these demons, bent on destruction, rushed the herd off the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. Now this tells you everything you need to know about how depraved the devil and his demons truly are. All they want is destruction. All they want is death. Jesus removed what was contaminating the man. As the pigs rush down into the lake, we can't help but be reminded of the lake of fire God uses to describe hell in Revelation. Sin, Satan, everything contaminating the man was removed. The people who saw this, probably the pig farmers, left to tell other people what they had saw. And when they returned, this demon-possessed man, a man who had been demon-possessed for years, was back to normal, clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet. The story of this man is not all that different than our own story. No, you and I may not have been under demon possession, but understand that Satan has more tools in his tool belt than just possession. He finds his way to influence the world. And you can see so much destructive thinking that places a person unknowingly under his power. Whether it's making life too easy and convincing people they don't need God, or making life so hard that people can't believe a loving God could exist, the devil held all of us under sin. We were all captives, slaves, spiritually naked and helpless. But Jesus stepped off the boat for us too. He came into this world to be man's liberator, to remove all the gunk and rot that had ruined the souls of all people. And that filth and stain was not placed on pigs, but on himself. The one who endured hell for us. The one who shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The one who gave up his life to atone for our sins. To the lake of fire he went, so that we didn't have to. This certainly brings about a change in us. Just as dramatic as the man whose oppression was cast off him. We do not live as slaves anymore. We do not live as if we have to do this or that to cleanse ourselves. We have been cleansed. We've been set free from the toxicity of Satan and sin at the cross. And who is this freedom for? Whose sins did our Lord die for? As we see here, he died for the most Gentile of people. He died for the greatest of sinners. even the ones who have placed themselves under full control of the devil. He died for you and for me. But those set free from something are also set free for something. You see it in those who are survivors of violence, coming out of that violence with a renewed purpose to fight that violence. You see it in people who have been set free from addiction, carrying as the leading voices to help others. When we are set free from something, we don't just sit and do nothing. We are motivated to act. We are motivated to do something with our newfound freedom. Luke records that the people from all over the region came to see the man who had been cleansed. And what did they find? They found the situation perfectly fixed. Jesus had not just started the man down the road to recovery. There was no 12-step process. Jesus healed him completely. But in seeing this, the people asked Jesus to leave. Why? How could they not see that Jesus could help them? How did they not invite him to stay with them forever? Because if Jesus could fix what was broken in this guy, he could fix whatever was broken in them. But they didn't want him to stick around. Why? Because standing in the presence of the holy is terrifying. Sure, he could help them, but he could also judge them for everything wrong they had done. Jesus pushed back, right? He told them he'd never leave them, didn't he? No. Jesus gave them what they wanted. He got in the boat and left. How could he do that to them? Didn't he love them enough to cleanse them too? Listen to the rest. The cleansed man, having been rescued by Jesus, wanted nothing more than to follow his Lord and Savior. But Jesus didn't let him on the boat. This man had been set free from the demons. Now it was time for him to do something with his freedom. Return to your home and tell how much God has done for you. This was his new mission. To tell all those people who were too afraid to stand in Jesus' presence what Jesus had done for them. People love the wonders of God until they get too close to him. They have no problem staring off at the sunset sky. They have no issue enjoying the company of their fellow created beings. But having communion with God without the buffer of his creation? Now that's too hard. There are many who hear about Jesus, and they don't hate him. But that doesn't mean that they're unafraid to come before God. They avoid churches, not because they think churches are filled with hypocrites, but because they're afraid what they will hear, that it's going to confirm their deepest fears. What are you doing here? There's no salvation for you, not anymore. I suspect all of us today have had the same fears cross our minds in these very pews once or twice. People want to be rid of Jesus because they don't know how to deal with him. Just like this crowd next to the Sea of Galilee, they misunderstand what a relationship with Christ entails, and so they push him back onto his boat to go away. Jesus combats those fears by sending witnesses, by visiting those still enslaved to sin through those set free. And this is much less scary than Jesus standing in front of them, because the messenger bringing Jesus to them is a fellow sinner. This job to bear witness, it belongs to each and every Christian. But not every believer is comfortable with bearing witness to Christ. In fact, we all have fears when it comes to sharing Jesus with other people. We would rather climb into the boat with Jesus, especially when life is filled with suffering and worry. But Jesus has not called us to be with him. Not yet. For now he gives us the ability to witness to the truth of his word as a gift. And when we neglect using this gift God gives us to be his co-workers in evangelism, we do not need to be afraid of him. We ought to confess our sins and trust those words of forgiveness that he speaks to us in his word and through our fellow believers. And Jesus will keep putting people in front of us to minister to. But he doesn't call you to do something you can't do. He calls you to live as someone set free from something and set free to do something. So, return. Tell. To announce freedom for those still under the illusion of slavery. To cleanse the unclean with the blood of Christ. Every day you are not with Jesus is another day to witness to that truth until he finally takes you and all his faith-filled people home. Until that day, go. Be his witnesses. Amen.